different, I warn you right in the beginning. So prepare yourself that towards the end of the service, we're going to do something different. There won't be any questions coming up tonight, but we're going to do something different, which is going to be quite cool. Over the last 3 weeks, we've used Psalm 1 as the foundation of our three-part series, and four-part series, and John's going to conclude this four-part series on God's Word and the Bible next week when he preaches from Timothy. But we started with Psalm 1, and then we jumped very quickly to Psalm 119, and we want to kind of kick off from there tonight. But if you can recall to last week, we preached on Psalm 119, and where it was quite important for us as trees, as people, to find ourselves planted next to the stream of God and allow God's Word, His stream, to feed us on a daily basis so that we can become strong trees and produce really good fruit. Anyone recall that? Yes, we've got quite a few nods and hands going up. It's great. It's awesome. So we're going to dig a little deeper into Psalm 119. And if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, that'll be fantastic. And can I highly recommend that you grab a Bible tonight? That's kind of a hint towards the end of the service. You're gonna need one. So there's a Bible rack over there. And if they're all taken, there's another one in that dark room if you're willing to go in there and grab some Bibles. Or grab your cell phones. Yes, if you have the Bible app loaded on your cell phone, that'll be fantastic, but I would highly recommend that you have a Bible handy towards the end or right now would be fantastic. It's good. Right, so Psalm 119, verse 18 and onwards. Let's read together. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. I'm a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. And we'll just read up until there. Now, last week, I was very careful with a bit of guidance when I spoke about the ultimate goal in life and how we could live out that goal. And I mentioned that there are a couple of approaches. There's a positive approach where you kind of make all the right decisions and get to the end of your life with no regrets. Or you can go the negative side and avoid all the difficult things and get to the end of life and say, I've survived it all. It's been great. Or life happens, which is in the middle, where you make all the right decisions, you think you've avoided all the dodgy ones, and life still happens. Bad things still happen, good things happen, but life still happens. And we can look at this part of life in a bit more detail tonight, where we can look at the not-so-lacquer things, the negative things. So in Mark Gaines's experience, his dog jumps the fence again and kills another dog down the road. Or your goldfish gets replaced strategically. Now, some of the parents might find that very hilarious. Or the child gets flu. The dad drops the spanner on his left pinky toe. Or a bit more serious, a family member is diagnosed with a serious disease. That's life, hey? For so many of us in this room. But on the positive side, where the cat in Mark's scenario keeps the dog at bay, like sitting at the gate, pointing at the dog, you will not jump this fence again. Or the kids are healthy and they get good grades at school. You don't have to replace any goldfish. Everybody's healthy and happy. And we all know very well that life still happens. And the psalmist here writes about life. It's about six verses about life. And we're going to just unpack it tonight in a bit more detail. Now, let's just listen to this in verse 19, where the psalmist says, I'm a stranger on this earth. And just that phrase, for some of us here tonight, you're like, I don't really agree with him. Let's see. Let's see. How many of you have done everything in your power to make the right decision, that good decision, and it still turns out bad? There we go, with some hands, some response. Now the world that we live in tell us exactly the opposite. That if you make the right decision, if you put on the right lotion, hey, those adverts on TV, put on this lotion and you'll never have wrinkles again. Anti-aging cream. What bollocks! Yet, we often believe that nonsense. I've never seen like a 30-year-old soon to be become a 13-year-old by putting on cream. But some of the adverts are a bit more discreet and camouflaged very well. And I would be even that bold to say that most, if not all of the adverts out in the world, all of the media barrage that we get, targets us and tries to influence us to become even more self-centered. Now, if you still don't think you're a stranger in this world, have you ever given away money to the poor or helped serve those in need? The world tells you that you are absolutely crazy. All you should worry about is your own money and your own preservation. Yes, you are a stranger in this world. When you try and do anything that the world, when you try and do anything the opposite way that the world tells you that you should. So the world tells you that you should look after your family and only your family, not worry about anybody else. The world tells you if you put on this cream, you'll look younger, and soon you realize that's nonsense. But if you keep buying the same cream, then you're a citizen of this world and not a stranger. Which is quite strange. But it works. It works. And friends, if you agree with me tonight that we are indeed strangers, because when we do something good, the world goes, you are crazy. Jesus, in John chapter 15 and 16, he prays for us. But in chapter 16, he says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And you might sit here going, okay, I'm not quite sure where he's going at. This is where we're going. We're going to carry on reading through this psalm. And soon you will realize how you agree with this psalmist and that you are indeed a stranger in this world. Verse 21. The psalmist here just writes something that is so real. And if you watch any TV, or especially channel 203, so a bit of soccer, so the soccer fanatics. Where's the Villa? There we go. What is the one soccer player in this world that just breathes arrogance? Do you watch soccer? I can't believe this. Joelle, who's a lady, has just gotten this answer right, but she blames Nick for that.
I was thinking of
Joelle got the answer right. Now, verse 21 says, God rebukes the arrogant. And oh, does this not ring true for us? That when we watch Cristiano Ronaldo say this about his team, he published this the other day in a media statement. He says this, if my team, my entire team was as good as me, we would win everything. How arrogant. Hey, I was just blown away and then they go and lose the next match and I was just like, yes. No? Now, in terms of arrogance, wouldn't you agree that if you are planted by the stream of God, you are a Christian to your utter core, or you're striving to be, and when you see such arrogance, you go, Lord, with the psalmist, rebuke the arrogant. Like when the person's a very good soccer player, like Messi, hey? He's all right. You know, and if you don't know who Messi is, he's extremely short. I'm probably not over-exaggerating. But he plays extremely good football, and I've never heard him make such an arrogant statement. Even when he scores a goal, you know, it's like, stop tackling me. Yes, I've scored a goal, but he's very humble about it. Which, isn't that amazing? So let's get on with this. Haven't you heard this saying? Please get off your high horse and come and live life next to me. Hey? So you're like, okay, yeah, now we're starting to talk my language. I get that I'm a stranger in this world, because when I see arrogance, I pray with the psalmist, Lord, rebuke them, just get them down to earth, because it just puts us off. Now we go to verse 22. No, go on with verse 21, I'm sorry. Where the psalmist speaks about the accursed. Now, for the people that are like young like me, they're like, huh? What does that mean? In young modern day language, it means doomed. So those who are doomed and those who stray from your commands. Hear these words. Lord, rebuke the arrogant, rebuke the doomed, and those who stray from your commands. You are a stranger in this earth if you agree that when somebody breaks the law, like the blue light brigade coming flying up your rear end on the freeway, doesn't that grate your cheese? Doesn't that really annoy you? Like, why should I move over so that you can drive 200 kilometers an hour to the next meeting, which I'm paying for? It makes no sense. But you would agree with the psalmist, wouldn't you? When those who are doomed, so, and it's so difficult when you speak about those who are doomed, because often we label them doomed, but those, you've got to like marry those two together. Those who are doomed are those who stray from God's commands. You and I are strangers of this earth when we read those words and we pray, Lord, help those who stray from your commands, because if they carry on like this, they will be doomed. Only strangers of this earth would pray that kind of prayer. Those who live in this world and couldn't care less would just go, oh, yeah, well, let them just live out their own consequences of their choices. So by now, I think that you agree that you're a stranger of this earth. Because most of the cases for us, when that happens, something happens on the inside and we really just want to pray for them and, God, please change their hearts. Help them to stop being like that. And then we can bring it home a little bit more, a bit more personal. And if you're at school or varsity or even at work, the next verse, verse 23 and 22, remove their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Have you ever been discriminated against for no good reason whatsoever? Because of your skin color, your financial status, or where you live? But people are like, I'm not going to talk to you at the office because you live in Durban North and not in Mshlanga. Hey? Or you grew up in the Bluff. Now, I hear that very often here. Like, you're rough and tough from the Bluff. Hey? And we joke about it. But for some people, that really hurts. Because that's where they grew up. That's where they live. Hey? That unfair discrimination. And you would echo this prayer of the psalmist, Lord, remove their scorn and contempt. For I am keeping your statutes. I'm living like someone who lives next to the stream of God. And here they chirp me and diss me because of the look of my tree. You agree with the psalmist. And then verse 23. The rulers sit together and slander me. Verse 23 has the hope for us all. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight, and they are my counselors. And I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. Because as I promised you, tonight's going to end a bit different to the rest. In order for you and I to agree with the psalmist tonight, we've got to actually practice this. in order for you and I to say, yes, we are strangers of this world. Listen to these words. Verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. And then the middle part of the psalm is when life happens for the psalmist, where people discriminate against you, when they diss you, when they break the law, and you've got to keep it. The only hope for the psalmist is verse 18, kind of the end of verse 23 and 24. That when life happens, where does your hope come from? Who do you rely on? What do you fall back on? Do you agree with the psalmist? Lord, open my eyes through this trauma, this mess, this injustice, that I may see you through this. And like we've kind of journeyed over the last couple of weeks, the amazing thing is that in God's word we get to see him. In God's word we get some of the answers, but we've got to meditate on those answers, on those decrees and statutes, so that we can agree with the psalmist on verse 24. Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. And so we've chosen this song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I may see you. Because I want to see you through life, whether it's the positive, the negative, or just normal life. Because we've got to be honest, we are strangers of this world, because the way we live is very strange to the world. That we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, or try to do that. And so as we sing this song tonight, we're going to hand out sheets of paper to you. And that's why you needed your Bible, and we'll kind of change the lighting so it's easier for you to read it. But the challenge tonight is to dig into God's word. And the sheet of paper has got like words with a scripture reference next to them. And some of the study Bibles have that right at the back, where if you need help or advice in terms of faith or doubts or pride or any of the other stuff in life, there are scripture verses that help us with that. And so we've kind of printed out one page with I think I've given two references for each letter of the alphabet. And it's really random, like I didn't have time to read through the whole Bible to just get you the right ones. So just bear with me that it's about 26 times 2, so it's about 52 passages that you can read tonight. Or you can take the page home with you and start doing what the psalmist does and has done for so many years, where you can agree that open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you through your word high and lifted up so that your glory may come. So that's how we're going to end the service tonight. Digging into God's word together. And you might want to stay at your table or grab your chair and move somewhere else and use that sheet of paper and your Bible that we have or your cell phone and just read through some of those verses. And hopefully one of the 52 stands out to you tonight and you go and read it. And can I challenge you to pray through that scripture that you read? And it's very easy, and just a quick know how to do that. As you read through it, and maybe before you start reading, you go, Lord, please reveal yourself to me right now. Please speak to me regarding this thing that I need help with. Then you read through that, just read through it the first time, and then maybe just sit in silence for about a minute, and then maybe just verse by verse, go, Lord, and read the verse. And then, Lord, read the verse. And just read through those verses, line by line. And like we always say, we're here until 11 o'clock, and then we'll turn off the lights and go home. But if you really want to spend some time with God tonight, just praying through his word, reading through his word, so that you can agree with the psalmist, God, your word is my delight. I find counsel in it every single day. And then take it home with you and go and practice. And then next week when John preaches, hopefully you guys can go, well, I know that verse off by heart because I meditated on that all week long. All right. You may remain seated and let's just sing the song together.